this leaving her body, that's the information of Trinity. I will just ask all of you to sit so that there's some peace, and then we will just focus our mind. Anyways, Dean, please sit. Please sit. Krishna, Krishna. I'm sorry, I really have to go now. Time efficient, which is something I know needs to be done, but I'm not so good in it. No, actually, we are quite good in the time, this time. Good. My dear devotees, sit down, please. Take a moment of silence. When you leave the body, you will like to have someone who's with you and prays for you. And our Ranganaleka leaves her body now. Let us take a very brief moment and to the sister, just say the prayer. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasadi Govarta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama What is the reason why so many good intentions fail? What is the reason why, although we know what should be done in our lives, when it comes to the arena of daily activities, we just don't do it? Afterwards, when we have again flunked or failed, we asked ourselves, why is it that I did this? I mean, I knew what I should have done, and when I was breaking or going against my better knowledge, I knew that this would be a break of contract with myself. But still I did it. But what is the reason for this? What is the reason that so many good intentions constantly fail? What is the reason that it seems the whole world goes against better knowledge? I'm speaking of the constant abuse of the environment, although we all know that we are dependent on it. Why, when it comes down to, we ourselves know that the milk which I'm drinking is from tortured cows, but I like this cream now so much. It doesn't matter at this moment. I will nourish myself in the way my tongue tells me. What is the reason? This is an important question, because you all have now engaged in an exercise where you have written down good intentions. I gave you your personal tree of life to fill out with positive things. If you look on my paper here, I have daily exercise, I have for my root program, enter the secrets of bhajan, based on bhajan rahasya. I have a lot on working for the benefit of others. How, let me ask this positively, how can I make sure that I don't fail on this? How can I make sure that I don't flunk miserably? Is there anything I can do that I don't break my tree of life? I have been teaching retreats all over the world, and this is always the question of the last session. The question is, how can I help the retreatees or the participants to take their retreat home and apply their knowledge in daily life? And I would like to give you a very good process, and very easy process, which at least in my life has worked, and which, according to what I know, is something in which resonates with our Vedic model of learning something, and is also standing up to the challenging questions of modern psychology. Remember, our Vedic model for affecting change is you hear something, then you bring it deeper into your awareness by doing mananaha, that means reflecting about it, and then you still anchor it still a little bit deeper in your consciousness by nididhyasana, which is either contemplative meditation, but since we are not so much trained in this in our lineage, for us it is practical application of what we have heard and what we have reflected about. The Vaishnavas, or we add a fourth thing for active learning, it is we pray to the Lord for to empower us in our new thing. Now, good. This is the Vedic process. And I want to now crystallize from this Vedic process something very simple, something very effective. And I want to greet Damodar Prabhu here. He is a life coach, and he has personally coached me and given very, very nice courses, I think, in Germany and England, both, which I attended, and I'm still doing what he taught me religiously. He would be proud of me. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So, Damodar Prabhu, I request you to listen with two ears now. One is, okay, what does this Maharaj with the strange accent has to say on transforming habits? And then also, maybe there's something in for me. That's one ear. And the second ear is, okay, let me see if I can maybe find something in my field of expertise where I can help him to develop this model further. So, good. But thank you very much, and it's always a pleasure to see your happy smile. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Aripo. So, my dear devotees, we start with the present status. We all have automatized habits in us. That's our state. We are people of habits. And when we try to break a habit, we feel unpleasant. We always wish to act according and based on our old habits. You saw this when we offered you for your breakfast a simple khichdi meal. All of you, rank and file, went into protest. Some of you were preparing already shields and banners, "Don't starve us, please," and so on. We went against our old eating habits by introducing a conscious, healthy diet in the morning. And immediately, because it was against our habits, we felt some slight discomfort. Then, the second stage is, if you want to affect change, in a sattvic way, you must become aware of your old habits. What is the pattern here? What is my usual activity? Why is it like this? For instance, if you want to change your habits where you go late to bed and wake up late, you must first of all become conscious that you are going late to bed. And you must pervade this with your consciousness. Okay, I'm going to bed each day at 11 or 11:30. What do I do? Yes, I'm doing some. Before I go to bed, I'm doing some, maybe, I don't know what you do in Australia when you go late to bed. Maybe you look at magazines or movies or some other type of entertainment. You must be conscious of your automatized habits. You must take note of them. Like here, when we told you, let's eat healthy for the time of the sattva retreat, for the tree of life retreat, then we also pointed out some habits. Next stage. As you become conscious of the old habits, you gain a rational insight. Of what is happening here. You analyze it, you have become aware of it, you know your old habit is such and such. But, and this but needs to be written in capital letters, there is now a contradiction between your head and your heart. In medical terms, there is a conflict between what you know you should be doing, but your cellular memory. What this is that every in our life we create pictures and memories which pervade the whole body on a cellular basis. Let me give you an example. For instance, you eat something, let me say you go to bed with a cream cheese, then your cells will have a memory at 10 o'clock in the night. Cream cheese, please. Cream cheese, cream cheese. or you have other cellular memories and of other things. I don't want to give embarrassing examples here. And you crave for them. You want to repeat them. Because remember, the human being is a conditioned being. That means he is ruled by habits. Habits of action and of thinking. So, you have gained a rational insight by becoming aware and conscious of your automatized habits, and you have maybe some idea to do it better. But what you have done so long has created, in Vedic terms, a sanskara, a deep, deep impression in your psychology, which is like a riverbed and does not allow a new habit to flow into a new direction. You can be aware and you want to do it, but your nature, which is ruled by your old sanskaras, or call it cellular memory, or call it your heart, or call it your belly, and so on, will just pull you in the opposite direction. You want to go east, but everything in you, which is formed by the old habits, wants to go west. Now, at this time, my dear devotees, where you deal with non-rational things. You know, you have a rational belief, but your non-rational habits go against the belief. You must introduce something which you can call practice. In our language, it is sadhana. That will be a difficult time for you because, again, you only act according to your head when you do the practice. Let me give you an example of my life. I have turned 60 years. I never thought it would be possible that this will happen one day to me. And I notice my energy and also my memory is decreasing. It is embarrassing. I can ask you, what is your name? And maybe in 5 minutes I will ask you again, what is your name? I'm happy I did not forget Damodar Prabhu. But it has happened that Prabhu, please don't be angry on me. I had a difficult night yesterday. Did you try to cover it up that you are just forgetting everything? What was your good name again? Just could you say this one time? Oh, yeah, I know this. So my problem, as I get old, is the circulation goes slower. Everything goes slower, and as a result, I develop pains in the body. And I know what I need to do by rational insight. I need to move. Now, what I must do is I must find an exercise which suits me. Ten Surya Namaskar. Let's say like this. And I must do it. And as I do it, my dear devotees, even if you're at the first beginning, there's a sloth or a tamasic energy in you, something will happen to you, which is the next step. It will go into, you will feel for this. There will be a new result. And the new result will convince you. You will feel for it. Oh, this is really good for me. For instance, doing this retreat, I do every day religiously my physical practice. And I feel the benefit. And it's no longer a head thing. But all my cells, all my sanskaras, all my heart, all my belly things, this is really good. So the practice will lead to a, let us say, not rational insight, but an insight which is, how would you say this in English language? Intuitive, maybe. Not intuitive. You feel, you have a feeling for it.
Positive
feeling. Let us say positive feeling.
Inspiration.
Instinct. Damodar says instinct.
Sense of reward.
What? I would also like to say, stay with an experienced benefit. We can say like this. Now, at this stage, you're not yet on the safe side. Yes, you have benefited, like you all ate now for 3 days this horse food which we gave you. Hare Krishna. It was not so bad. It was good prasadam. It was offered. It was spiritually vibrant. Everything you needed was, and we have ate you, we have given you the conscious diet. At the beginning, you just nodded your head. Yes, I know it's healthy. Yes. But then you did the practice, you ate it, and you felt and you experienced the benefit. But now you're not on the safe side. There is still the old sanskaras. Every night a cream cheese at 10 o'clock, please. So you must continue the practice here religiously. And then you will get an emotional insight and slowly develop a new habit or new mindset. I would like to show you. Yes, please, right. The idea here really is that you want to do the good, but your old conditioning doesn't allow it. The only way to, and you, although your head likes it, your instinct and your gut feeling, we say, opposes it. Now, to come through this and convince your heart and your instinctive thing, you need a positive experience, which you can only make by practice. This is the idea. I would like to show you a graph how you start a new habit in your life. When you start with a practice, we have spoken earlier about it, so Anandini knows what she is doing. There is the old habit. Would you be so kind? You could. Yes, okay. Let us give her a little time. This is how you start. The old habit is there. It's very strong in the beginning point. As you go from up to down, there is only a little 1% new habit there. But as you continue to practice the new habit, it will start to slowly become more pervasive and the old habit is gone. Can you write a new habit in there? Yes. Is this clear to you, this graphicon? I think it is very clear. The idea really is here practice. And you must, in your practice, should not just be a rajasic practice. That means a practice which is done with tremendous effort and extremely tense effort, but is short-lived and goes to exhaustion. You must have a practice which is sattvic, which is long-lived, which is in terms with the laws of nature, with true spiritual principles. And such a practice which you have will convince you by the immediate results. And that's the whole idea of the Tree of Life concept. If you learn to balance these four big things of life which you have learned, that is, if you apply sattva gun to this, you will see how an inherent strength, inherent to the mode of sattva, will come, and this force will bring you and help you to move along. So my... is this clear to you? Good. Good. Oh. Daughter, father. Next to you? Your daughter?
Rohini.
Hari Bol. So the point here is, the point which I would like to bring is, you have all written your Tree of Life. I worked with one person who has many, many things here. It's all over. My recommendation to you is, don't do many, 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 many things. Your motivation, that is your readiness to follow goals, is always much more greater than your willpower. That is the force which you have, the intention to put something from the paper into your active life. So therefore, we have told this in the Harinam retreat, don't spread yourself out to too many goals at once. Very important. Otherwise you will be like that person who has a limited water and has a noozle on his, what is called, the water can? Nozzle. He has a nozzle, not a noozle, which has 100 holes in it, and through that flows the water in 100 directions and cannot supply enough water to any one plant. Better is you take off the nozzle, try to speak your language, and you give the water, the limited amount of water, to only one or two goals. This is much, much more effective. Yeah. For instance, I have taken only one goal because I know, of course, what I want to teach, so I'm so it's easy for me. In my spiritual dimension, I have only one practice which I will do, and I know it works. I have done this many times, added or focused myself on a new spiritual practice. On the physical dimension, I have I alternate between two exercises. That and on the emotional dimension, I have given myself one goal, what I will do for my emotional well-being, and for the social dimension, I do already things automatically, but I have one new thing which I like to work with, and I know that I have enough willpower to do. If you ask me after this retreat, I would like to take over the world in 10 days. I have so many goals, but I know they won't work. The nozzle will just waste all my water too quick. So I just do like this. This is my personal tip to you. And I will come back in 1 year and I will check all of you very carefully how this worked. Because remember, the tree of life is really only the very small entry gate into this Vedic life school. On the first level, we will learn to some detail of acting in sattva gun. The tree of life helps us to do that. But then we come to Dharma. In the Dharma module, we will find out what is that one place which is still vacant because it is our place. What is that one activity which we need to find, which is according to our nature and our mission in this life. Dharma, we will learn, has three dimensions. First, there is the universal Dharma, the law of nature, which moves the planets around and keeps everything in its order and so on. It's a huge force. Then there is the Swadharma. Swadharma means my own personal. Swa means one's own Dharma. And then there is Dharma in relationship to others. These three types of Dharma we learn. It is said in the Vedic scriptures, if you find your own Swadharma, your personal Dharma, your personal purpose, then you connect with the universal law of Dharma, which moves everything. You almost link into this force, and this force will move you. It's almost like in these old wristwatch. Just I think they are now quite fashionable again. There are many small wheels in this clockwork, and if the small wheel finds its place in connection with the whole clockwork, then it can show something as mystical as time. So when you can find your own personal Dharma and link it, get up with the whole Dharma, your life will, you will be, you will be carried by the law of Dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshitaha, says the Manu Sanghita. Someone who finds his Dharma or protects his Dharma will be protected by Dharma. You can only fall out of this connection with the universal law of Dharma when you act undharmically, that means not dharmically in relationship to others in the world. So we talk really about three dimensions of Dharma: the universal law, your own Dharma, and acting dharmically in relationship to others. After this, we come to the Atma module. In Atma, we learn who we are as spiritual selves. We don't learn this theoretically, but we learn it by practical experience. Prabhupada has said, the first step in Krishna consciousness is to understand that you are an eternal soul. Not theoretically, but by practical realization. This is a quotation from Beyond Birth and Death, a small handbook. In the Atma module, we actually learn our immortality by facing our mortality. What this means in practical terms is we will be equipped to deal even with the greatest loss, the loss of our physical body, and remain fixed in the self. It has beautiful exercises based on the Vedic scriptures and a wonderful daily program to stay fixed in the Atma, which takes a little time. It is a step in three consciousness, and you need to make three steps in the consciousness. I won't tell you here because I need to teach it in detail so that you will see the power of this. After having realized our spiritual self, the Atma, we are ready to go to the Paramatma, to connect with the Super Soul and derive a lot of intuition and inspiration and guidance from the Lord within the heart. And after having gone to Paramatma and experienced the higher connection, we are now ready for the fifth module of the Vedic Way, where we train systematically bhakti. We first will understand what is bhakti from Rupa Goswami's definitions, and then we learn what is bhakti in executing five powerful ways called Panchanga Bhakti. Bhakti will be taught as the goal, that is Prema Bhakti, love of Godhead, and the way, that is the processes of bhakti. And you will see how both of them are the same. It's a very experience-oriented path, the Vedic Way, and you have now just put in your little toe, no, your big toe actually, into the beginning of it, and I'm very, very grateful that I was able to teach you that living in balance by introducing to you the picture or analogy of the tree of life. I hope that I will have an opportunity to teach you next time I come to Australia something about dharma, and that we can go up the ladder together to full love of Godhead. That would be ideal. Hare Krishna. There's another short announcement before I say goodbye to you. In exactly 3 days, Tuesday, yeah, something like 3 days or 2.5 days, we will go to Vrindavan. One thing we do there is we have a small charity called Braj Care, where we take care of the poor people who have surrendered to Krishna in Vrindavan. Poor means by food standards and medical standards. We give them it's a charity, and we will be just going tomorrow. No, it's 2 days, 2.5 days. If you still want to give donations and have not yet given donations, there is a box where Driti is, the good angel of the of this retreat. You can just throw something in. We guarantee that it goes from my hand to our doctors in Vrindavan and our workers there who take care of the people who have taken shelter in Krishna's holy land. So that's a practical area of compassion. Very good. Having said this much, I want to really thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you. It was, as always, a surprise to meet people from another culture. And I appreciate this very, very much. Really, it's very endearing to me. I learned so much when I come to Australia. Really. And I felt you were very kind to me. Tolerating a person from another culture also. But we have done some very good work. I'm very satisfied. How can I say this? Well, I could see that you were applying yourself to the retreat. You were really giving your best, and it was a wonderful atmosphere. I want to thank especially Ajita Prabhu, who has invited me to come to Nugovadan, and who is one of the most talented managers in our movement, with a very spiritual vision and a spiritual plan. So I'm very grateful to him, and he did millions of things. He said to us personally, I was in the sattva retreat, but for me it was the most stressed out time in my life almost. I had to take care of a million things, and I think that was because more came than were registered. I also had to work very hard, but we like to Ajit and everyone, we are old people, old from the old generations, we like to serve the devotees. I want to thank also give my thanks to Damodar Pandit, who I don't know if he's here. He is here. Hare Krishna Damodar Pandit, who with his nice and jovial nature is so kind and so embarrassing and so... no! What? What is the word? Embracing nature. Yes. Did I say something wrong? I'm sorry. No, don't laugh at the expense of someone else. That's rajasic. That's not tamasic. That's not, sorry, sattvic. Oh my God, I'm getting tired. I should stop talking. No, who really was very accommodating. I wanted to say accommodating to the many, many needs. I mean, to print this and to arrange that in the last minute. And can we have this? No problem, said Damodar Pandit. And so very, very nice. And there was Driti, Ajita's wife, and even little Kalindi was moving everywhere in the atmosphere to make everything good. And of course, Sri Prahlad, who was contributing so nicely with his heartfelt devotion to Krishna, which is flowing into his amazing kirtans. We will have 2 hours of Sri Prahlad in the evening from 6 to 8 o'clock in the temple before the deities. And many, many, many more. I was so happy that Aniruddha, although he is the temple president of Melbourne, was with us and encouraged us with his good participation. Really, and all of you, I'm, as I said, now forgetting names, unfortunately, due to old age. But very, very nice service. Very, it went very smoothly, and prasadam was on time always. That was very, very. Everything was just, the backup was just better than you could dream of. Even everything. That, look at this decoration. It is. It can go afterwards to the National Academy in Sydney as a reminder to the Australians to live the tree of life wisely. Yes, everything. Good. Then I will say goodbye to all of you here. We will see each other most properly if you stay on in the temple room. There is this, a very nice interactive slideshow where we go on pilgrimage around Vashana Dham from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I believe. I will, of course, also be in the evening with Sri Prahlad's kirtan. And I just wanted to ask Banu Nandini, the facilitator, who really did so much seva here. You can't believe she's sleep deprived. And also so much in the preparation and in the organize, the dealing with Ajita Prabhu and the crew here. So you will most probably, yes, close the retreat with a few technical informations. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm getting very stiff feet and muscles and choked throat. It's been a long time for you. Sachinandanaswami.com I will write this down just after this full announcement for those who cannot remember or are not right about spelling. And also I will write down the webpage from which you can download the lectures from this retreat and any other retreat, and also lectures for the past 15 or 20 years which Maharaj was giving, if you're interested to hear. Then some of you have approached and asked about next retreats, which are taking place in Sri Vrindavan. For those of you who would like to take notes, there are two retreats in Vrindavan. One is the Holy Name Retreat. It is happening immediately after Kartik, which will be November 9 to 14. And this is a retreat which we have in Varshana. And then there is a Govardhan retreat. It is a complete Krishna Katha retreat, but from morning to evening, we listen Krishna Katha from Satchinanda Maharaj, Purujan Prabhu, Jagatarini Mataji, and Madalananda Prabhu from Orissa. So four very exalted devotees who are teaching.
Also, Giriraj Maharaj will be joining us, like last year also.
Okay, Giriraj Maharaj and some other devotees from the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, like Prashanta Mataji and Sinkami Purush. So this retreat takes place from 19th to 25th of November, for those who like to know. Then Maharaj has said about the Braj Care, for those who like to give some little donation who haven't done so. There is a little box outside this treaty. And also Ananda Mohini has a few, I don't know how many numbers, maybe 20?
Yes,
16, 70 meditation CDs which Satchinanda Swami has produced. It's about bringing us to our sacred space. So first come, first serve, within the Holy Name Retreat. And I just want to tell you that behind these retreats, there is also a very nice team in Germany. There are a few of the devotees who stay back, who will come with us, of course. I just wanted to mention them because they did also so much for this, researching, and they're developing the training letters, then the monthly newsletters which you're receiving, and designing everything graphically and so on. So it's a full-on team, like you see in Australia. Thank you so much. And see you at 3 p.m. for the kirtan. 4 to 5 is Maharaja's presentation at the temple. And then...
Now is prashadam. Yeah. Something for the hungry.
From 5 to 6 is the short, it says the big feast prashadam. Now we will have also some prashadam so that we can really bridge until the 5 p.m. But it will be enough. We heard so. It will not be just a breath, it will be a little bit more than that. and then in the evening we have the Kupuli Kirtan Shikha Vartabu from 8 to 10. And then we say, not goodbye, but we say see you very soon.
Yeah.